From the Way of Truth Ministries in Altoona, Pennsylvania, comes the Living Truth Radio Broadcast. Hi, I'm Jim O'Brien, and it's a delight for us to be invited into your day with another edition of the Living Truth. In a few moments, the founder and president of the Way of Truth Ministries, Dr. Gary Dull, will present another practical study from God's Word, the Bible. To contact us with a prayer request or information about this ministry, I'll return to give our contact information at the end of this broadcast. But now, here's Pastor Gary with his study for today.
Well, thank you, Jim O'Brien, and greetings, dear friends, in the precious name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be able to come to you once again with another teaching from the Word of God here on the Living Truth program. This week, we have been basically looking at the concept of living in light of the rapture. And I've been emphasizing that 1 Thessalonians is the key book in the New Testament that teaches us how to live in light of the rapture. And so if you and I want to be prepared for the rapture when it takes place, then we need to take heed to the teaching that the Word of God has given us through the writing of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But there's one particular verse I want to draw to your attention today that I would encourage you to study on your own, to pray over, and to really meditate upon, and do what you can before Almighty God to put it into practice. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find that the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians and reminding them how that he and Silas and Timothy, the missionary team that went to that city, how they behaved themselves. And he says in verse 10, he says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves, even among you that believe. As ye know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." In other words, Paul was saying, when we were with you, we behaved ourselves in a holy, just, and unblameable way. In other words, he was saying, we had a good testimony before you. You witnessed that, and God witnessed it as well. And then he went on to say in verse 11 that as we were with you, we discipled you, as it were. We exhorted you, we comforted you, we charged you, even as a father doth his children. In other words, Paul was saying, we taught you directly so that you might know how to live for the Lord. But then look at that 12th verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, "That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Paul says in verse 11, we exhorted you, we comforted you, and we charged you to do what? To walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, beloved, that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, is a very significant verse of Scripture. It is so significant that I could not teach you the complete significance of it in a 15-minute radio program. This verse is so significant that I believe that if we spent a month on this verse, I would not be able to teach you how serious and significant that it is. Notice what it says. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let me ask you a question today, and that is this: who is worthy of God? Well, the answer to that is simple. There's no one worthy of God. No one. There's no one worthy of God's salvation. There's no one worthy of God's grace. There's no one worthy of God's love. There's no one worthy of God's mercy. There is no one worthy of God. Why? Because we are all sinners. Remember what the Bible says back in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12? It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And then, of course, all of that is summarized in verse 23 of Romans 3, where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No matter how religious a person is, no matter how many times a person has partaken of the Lord's table or maybe has been baptized, no matter how many times a person walks into the church doors, no one is worthy of God because of our sinfulness. But through Christ, we become worthy of God. Interesting to note. Through Christ, we become worthy of God. How is that so? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and notice, if you would please, verses 17 and 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. And then drop down to verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, none of us, there's not a one of us, who is worthy of God. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, something takes place. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "We become a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new." Why? Because in verse 21, it tells us that we are made righteous in God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and are made righteous in Christ. And therefore, we are, as it were, worthy to have a relationship with God. And so the point to understand is that there's not a person on the face of the earth who is worthy of God. But through faith in Jesus Christ, when we trust Christ as Savior and stand in the righteousness of Christ, we then are worthy of God. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. Notice what it says. It says that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What does it mean to walk worthy of God? I might say that that's the greatest challenge that any person can receive, to walk worthy of God. How do we do that? Well, we cannot do it in and of ourselves, even as Christians. If we are going to do it, there are two points to keep in mind. Number one, this is teaching us that we are to practice holy living. We are to have a holy lifestyle. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," that is, in your lifestyle, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now here's the point. At the point of salvation, we are all unholy, dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are sanctified, set apart unto God as one of God's children. We are made holy in the Lord. That's why we are worthy of God, as it were. That's why we are able to have a relationship with God. But here's the point. In our day-by-day life, we are to live the holy lifestyle. We are to practice holiness. That is, We are to separate from sin and live to the glory of God, that we might show ourselves worthy of God. And there again, we cannot do that in and of ourselves. Certainly, to walk worthy of God means to practice holiness as a Christian, but we don't have the capacity to do that in and of ourselves. We need the aid of the Holy Spirit, and He is there to aid us. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's the point. As Christians, through faith in Christ, we are worthy to have that relationship with God. But you see, if we are going to live and walk worthy of God daily, it's important that we practice holiness by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to give us that strength, that characteristic of holiness, that we might live for the Lord. And we do that by walking in the Spirit. Now you say, "Pastor Gary, how do we walk in the Spirit?" It's not difficult. It simply means to say no to sin and self and yes to the Word of God. And when you and I say no to sin and self and yes to the Word of God, then we will be walking in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we will live the holy life before Almighty God. It's a joy to be a Christian, but there is also a great responsibility. And that responsibility is to live out a holy lifestyle by allowing the Spirit of God to control us every day, so that when the rapture happens, we will hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, I trust that you've appreciated the study of the Word of God this week. Go to church on Sunday, and then the Lord willing, Monday, we'll be back with you once again with another Living Truth program. Until then, keep looking up, for Jesus could come again today.
Thank you, Pastor Gary, for that very practical study from the Bible. What a blessing it is to learn from the pages of Scripture through your clear teaching. Beloved, here at the Way of Truth Ministries, we have a genuine desire to serve you spiritually. If you have a prayer request or desire a copy of the notes or outlines or even a CD of today's program, please contact us. There's no charge for the materials, but we would appreciate a donation of $5 for the notes and $10 for the CD to defray the cost of shipping and handling. Our address is The Way of Truth Ministries, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. You can reach us by email at wot@wotbm.org. Please visit our website at www.wotbm.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. We're looking forward to being with you on our next Living Truth broadcast. Until then, on behalf of Pastor Gary Dahl, I'm Jim O'Brien saying, God be with you till we meet again.